Guys, today Dalton is not joining the show. Nothing's wrong with Dalton, but I'm flying solo today because I am interviewing Purdue offensive lineman Marcus Bowe. Marcus joined me for about 30 minutes, so he gave me a pretty good chunk of his time to talk about life outside of football, to talk about his love for basketball and kind of his game growing up into his career at Purdue, his experience at the Senior Bowl, and we even talked a little bit of ball about his hand usage, his transition from interior offensive lineman to offensive tackle, what he hopes to do at the NFL level, and some things like that as well. So we're going to jump to that interview now, and that's going to be it. We'll just wind out at the end of that, so I won't come back on. But, you know, this has been another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast, and I really hope you enjoy this interview. All right, and as promised, I am here with Purdue offensive lineman Marcus Bowe. Marcus, busy, busy season. How are you doing?
I'm well, man. Blessed to be here. Living well.
Yeah, not a lot of time to catch your breath. So I'm thankful for you to give me some time here in some of your off seasons. Kind of how's training going? You're at Frisco, you're at Exos in Frisco. How's life at Frisco right now for you?
It's nice. I mean, haven't really complained about too much besides the weather for real, but I'm enjoying my time putting in work.
Love it. Love it. So Marcus, we're gonna just kind of walk through the progression of your career to kind of where you are today. And just kind of break down some different things, talk through some different things. But before we dive into some football, let's talk about your basketball highlights, man. Let's talk about your basketball highlights. Out of Milwaukee, you got some post moves, man. I saw, you know, I was checking out some YouTube videos earlier. You got some post moves down there. Was basketball your first love, or was football always kind of your first love?
Definitely was basketball, yeah. It definitely was. I was definitely a big basketball guy until, like, junior year high school.
Okay, and that's when you knew, like, oh, I can make a living out of this football thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of just got a new high school coach. He came in, turned things around, told me, he's like, hey, you're probably not a basketball player. So took his advice and ran with it.
I love it. So, yeah, look at some of this. You've even got, like, eyes in the back of your head. You've got some pretty slick, like, post passes.
I'm telling you. I'm pretty sure in the highlight there's a big clip of me going like this, because that's every time I did that after I made a nice little pass.
I love it.
IQ was there. I'm telling you.
It is. It's like the Minnesota Timberwolves Kevin Love. Like not so much like the skinny Kevin Love, but like the OG Kevin Love. Yeah.
Give me like that with a little bit of Jokic and I'm good. I'm good with it.
Yeah. I will say all of the highlights though were post moves, so I gotta ask, how's your jump shot?
It wasn't necessary. No, I knew my role.
Wasn't necessary. There you go. Yeah. If you're a high schooler and you're sitting at 6'5", 300 pounds, there's not a lot to.
You feel me? I was a team guy. You know, we won state. Did what I had to do to win the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was the COVID year, too. That was kind of baffling to see that. It's like, oh, all of these guys are wearing masks.
That shit was
it? It was hard to breathe. It had to have been hard to breathe.
I probably got called out the most by the refs out of anybody in the state for having my mask down. I remember one time I got pulled out of the game because I had it below my nose. It was bad, man.
Oh, man. All right, but then you realize football's it. You commit to Arizona State, and I remember when we talked in the summer, you had said this was before the Arizona State stuff, but they had said maybe it was after they had lost some scholarships or something like that, right? And yours was kind of a numbers game, one of the scholarships they lost or something like that?
They said they pulled my scholarship because COVID brought back too many guys. But, I mean, they ended up taking other kids, other linemen, so I just don't think they wanted me anymore.
Yeah. Their loss, I guess, because here you are sitting as a top 50 prospect, you know,
two months
from the draft. So what was it then about Purdue? Because you had interest from Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, Wisconsin, too, if I'm correct.
Wisconsin kind of ghosted me.
Okay.
They ghosted me as well. They never threw the offer. But, yeah, I was feeling Wisconsin at first. I took a couple visits there and – I remember one day just texting him asking if I'd come to a visit, and I never heard from him again. So
interesting. So what was it about Purdue then that stood out over Arkansas, Iowa, Nebraska, kind of those kind of schools?
The second time around, it was like Kansas, Oregon State, and Purdue were really my final three. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that kind of hopped back on it. I had a D-tackle offer from Virginia.
Okay.
as well. But I mean, they kind of just were there. Purdue was really the only place I got to go visit on my own. Went there with some friends and checked it out. So it was pretty smooth. But otherwise, I mean, it was close to home, somewhat close to home, you know, good academics, good ball, can't beat it.
Yeah. So what was your major at Purdue?
I was a law and society.
Okay, nice. So I was going to say, well, if you're an engineering guy, that makes a lot of sense. Law and society kind of makes sense though too. Pretty heady school to go to Purdue there. So
Oh yeah.
at Purdue, you started both right guard and right tackle. Even your redshirt sophomore season, no, redshirt freshman season, you guys made the Big Ten championship game. You're starting right guard. What was
Yes,
that
sir.
experience like traveling to Indianapolis, playing Michigan? Obviously, the results didn't go as you'd hoped, but your quarterback at the time is now an NFL quarterback who started NFL games for the Las Vegas Raiders. You guys have had a lot of talent on that team, a lot of talent in the NFL coming off that team as well. So what was that like to play in that environment?
You know, just thinking about it, you know, bringing back memories, giving me chills. But like, it was a great time, man, winning those games and playing with, you know, established season players that, you know, I'm saying knew how to be pros, knew how to carry themselves throughout the game, throughout the week. It definitely helped me in terms of, you know, picking up tools and just seeing how they moved and shit like that. Definitely was probably one of the better things that I could have asked for, you know, being around guys like Payne Durham, Aiden
Yeah.
O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell's a great guy.
Yeah.
Corey Trice. I mean, there's a bunch of players that are real good. Tyrone, you know, being around those guys definitely helped. And that game, it was crazy, man. It was super cool going down to Indy, playing a great team against Michigan. You know, it was just a great experience overall.
Yeah, for sure. And you got some one-on-ones against Chris Jenkins, a guy from Michigan who's playing for the Cincinnati Bengals right now, too. Do you have any memorable moments from that game against Chris Jenkins that you remember?
I remember going against Mazi Smith more. He was the
Okay.
guy that I was going against the most part. I don't even know if what number was Chris Jenkins? Is he 90 or 94?
I think it was 94.
He might have been out that game for what I could recall. But
Okay.
Mazi Smith, he was a beast. Still definitely like one of the guys that that I remember from my career that kind of just stood out. And I was like, damn, this guy's strong as shit. So he was a problem for me when I was younger, but it was a good game for sure.
Yeah. Number one on Feldman's freak list for a reason right there. Talking about kind of the transition then from right tackle. So my introduction to your tape is I literally watched that Iowa game because that was the last game you played as a right tackle, your redshirt sophomore season. And I remember thinking like, holy shit, this is some of the best tackle tape I've watched this summer, like to the date. And then obviously the accident happens, a absolute freak accident, the way that went down. But could you tell in the moment of that Iowa game, like I'm in it, like I'm in it,
Oh
I'm in
yeah,
a
man.
zone.
I was definitely playing one of my better games of that season. The best game that season. I mean, I was kicking ass the whole game.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I mean, I was starting to figure out tackle more and more each game. You know what I mean? And things were going real well that game.
Yeah, for sure. And then we talked throughout the summer as well about that broken leg. Obviously, you told me clean break, a blessing there, to have a clean break to come back from there. When you got into this season, was there a moment did you feel like, oh, I'm good week one, or was it like week three, week four, where you realized like, okay, now I really feel like I'm back in and I'm back 100%?
I mean, I worked real hard in the off season, man.
Yeah.
Especially right when it happened. I mean, I was in the training room fairly quickly as soon as I pretty much could be. So, I mean, I going into camp, I was feeling, you know, I had some hesitation, some thoughts, but for the most part, I was pretty confident going into the season.
Yeah. Is it one of those things though? Like I think I've heard of this on a lot of players who tear their ACLs, and obviously this is a different accident than tearing an ACL, but you really don't know if you're 100% there confidence wise until you take a hit. Was it kind of the same situation for you, or like I need to feel contact again first?
I don't even know. I mean, for the most part, I felt pretty good once I got back to
Okay.
camp. Just being back on the field really gave me confidence overall.
That's awesome. That's great. And again, from Indiana State on, I think the movement skills were pretty much there. It was pretty noticeable movement skills were back there. So,
Yes, sir.
what you're known for as well. So,
Yes, sir.
let's wind down on your Purdue career a little bit here. I want to wind down with three, maybe a little bit deeper questions about your time at Purdue. One, Marcus Johnson, offensive line coach, former NFL offensive lineman. Kind of what is the biggest impact that he had on your time at Purdue?
That's my guy, man. I mean, he helped me a bunch, just grow as a man and as a player for sure. He pushed me when times were rough and he was always there for me. You know what I mean? I feel like the biggest impact he had was supporting me trying new things. As you guys know, I do a lot of different things and different stuff
We'll
on
talk a
there.
little bit about that a little bit later here. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. But I mean, he was just always supportful and kept it real with me when, I tried something that maybe wouldn't work or he didn't like. So I feel like him working with me was probably the best thing.
Okay. Second question. Your most memorable play. Like, if you have a play that really stands out to you from your time, if you could point out a year, game, down to the minute. Some guys have it down to like 5 minutes in the third quarter, I did this. What is it for you?
Honestly, the one that sticks out from this year was against Indiana State, where I can't remember when it was in the game. I'm pretty sure it was somewhat early on, but we had a draw called and I did a just knocked him, just clubbed him out of there, and then I was just hauling ass, catching the running back, and I was downfield with him pretty close. So I feel like that one was pretty memorable for me. Hit like 17 miles per hour too.
Love it. Love it. Last question here about your time at Purdue. So obviously your redshirt junior year didn't go the way that anybody at Purdue saw it going. But what would you say is the most valuable piece of information that you'll take with you from your time in West Lafayette?
I would say just the way I carry myself throughout the week, in terms of, I wouldn't say there's really one specific thing, but in terms of just being in the building and working was probably, what I'm saying, the biggest habit that I built, and building on that as time went on.
So let's talk a little bit of ball. Let's dive into to that part then. So obviously there's a lot to be made about who Marcus Bowe is and what he will play at the NFL level. That's obviously a massive talking point. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? Is he a center? We had a conversation. You're like, I really don't see that one. And we talked about it a little bit. So Marcus Bowe, what position are you?
As of right now, I'm the best at tackle. That's what I've been playing the past couple of years. I mean, I'll play anywhere. I've been taking snaps, practicing, been working all five positions, but I feel the most comfortable at tackle, and I feel like that's, where I bring the most value right now.
Love it. Do you have a player that you watch the most tape of at each of those positions, or one who kind of maybe bounces around the same way that you kind of have that you try to pull from?
I watched the most Trent, especially when I
Okay.
first moved to tackle. Trent Williams was a big influence for me, especially in terms of, snatching and trying stuff in the run game. I feel like him and watching his athleticism and different tools that he had definitely helped me.
Okay. Cool. So what would you say was the biggest adjustment then from moving from interior to tackle?
Really learning like the space and, the set point and where I need to get to a spot and whatnot, just the pocket presence in a sense, you know what I mean? Not dropping the back foot too much. And that was probably the biggest, just the spacing of it.
Could you talk about the difference? Because I've heard this a lot from some guys who play tackle as well, like the difference between playing for a quarterback like Aiden O'Connell, who you can trust to hit that step drop on a dime and be pretty, because Aiden, let's like call it what it is. Aiden isn't mobile, right? Aiden
He
isn't
wasn't
the most athletic
running.
guy. He wasn't running
He wasn't
versus a guy
running.
like Hudson, where like Hudson Card, where like at any moment you could turn around and he's to your outside shoulder. You could turn around and like he's all the way out to what's the difference between trying to understand and kind of the conversations with those quarterbacks where like a quarterback will say, I really need you to kick vertical twice because I need that pocket to step up into, or like there's a lot of conversations there. If like I'm three step drop and just jump so I can get the ball out. Like what was that like between the two different quarterbacks as well?
Aiden got the ball out really quick. That was one thing with the old offense and him. Like, he used to get the ball out fairly quick. And that guard, I didn't really, you know what I'm saying? I didn't get many tackle reps behind in front of him. But I mean, the biggest difference probably was just straining more. You know what I mean? Like, you're holding on to blocks longer. You don't really know what's going on behind you, so you're just thugging it. You know what I'm saying? Just blocking until you hear the whistle. So I feel like that's really the biggest part. And you just block and hope the quarterback makes you right, man, especially when he's mobile.
Yeah, love it. Is there anything that you're doing right now to kind of prep it both, and kind of what does that look like, in terms of like, yeah, you're turning.
I feel like, I mean, I'm just working. I mean, I know whatever quarterback I got, I'm gonna block my ass off. You know what I mean? So I'll be blocking until the whistle blows, no matter who's back there. But I'd say just setting and trying to, work on my anchor, getting stronger, working on my feet, working on tools that I can add to the bag. So,
Okay. The one thing we haven't talked about, you talked about your anchor, you talked about your feet, is you're really good with your hands. Like that's been pretty obvious from 2023 into 2024. Your snatch trap is littered all over your tape. That's when you can catch guys out lean, and that's something you'd love to hit. I think your one-handed stab is excellent as well. That one-handed punch that you have, kind of what has been the process of refining your hands? I know some guys work with independent hand coaches. Is that something that you've done in the past? Has worked with an independent hand coach? Kind of what's the process like of getting your hands right?
Our first O-line coach was he was big on independent hands, but he also wanted us to like have our thumbs sternum. Like that was a big thing for us, and that really was an isn't ideal. You know what I mean? So kind of just like you said, watching tape over time, learning different tricks. And but when I first moved to tackle, I was a big inside hand puncher. I would always turn my shoulder and give my inside hand, and Coach Johnson really helped me fix that, and he was big on the one hand outside hand punch, and just going from there. I mean, learning new tricks, learning to keep people away from me. I don't like people touching me at all in the game, so you know what I'm saying, if to push me back, you got to lean a little bit. So I'm gonna trap you down pretty much every time.
I love it. Have you noticed the trend? I noticed it was with Deion Dawkins, the Buffalo Bills left tackle. He loves the snatch trap too, but they're calling it a lot more at the NFL level, which
Yeah,
is
I've seen that.
ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They're calling it a lot more at the NFL level. The one thing that we have to talk about before we move off of like the nitty gritty ball stuff is your fake jump set. I don't think I've ever seen anybody else do it, but it's a Marcus Bowe signature. So walk us through the fake jump set. How the origin of it? Was this something you, like you just tried in practice one day, and your coach was like, "Yeah, that disrupts the pass rush plan of the guy across from you." Like, because it's again, it's like your snatch trap. It's littered all over your tape. You busted it out at the Senior Bowl. So, like, walk us through the fake jump set.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge for me. I know it really, really messes with the defenders' get off and their timing, especially if I can kind of like sell the outside zone steps with it. And I feel like that's really the biggest part, is trying to sell the run and like I'm opening up and running. Our coach used to call it the nasty set because I used to do it so much and he started to like it. But I mean, it's good for play action, it's good for early downs, you know what I'm saying, when they're not expecting to just run and get past you know what I mean? So learning, I mean, that I started trying that when I moved to tackle 23 a spring, you know what I'm saying? Just trying new tricks, adding them to the bag. And I practice that a lot, I won't lie.
I mean, it takes a lot of athleticism to because again, jump set, you're coming out flat-footed, even based flat-footed, to then take vertical off of that is takes quite a bit of athleticism to do that. So had to pick your brain on it because we saw it at the Senior Bowl. We've seen it against Oregon State. We've seen it quite a bit with a lot of success as well. So
Yes, sir.
I hope we see it at the NFL level as well. That would be excellent. But let's move to the Senior Bowl then. Let's talk a little bit about that. Kind of what was your overall experience like in Mobile to start there?
Was good. I mean, it was great, getting down there, building a relationship with other great players and learning from NFL coaching. It's been a long time for me since I played some ball, so I was a little rusty the first day or so. But it was good, man. It was a long week, but it was fun.
Love it. So you mentioned building some relationships. So based on kind of what you said on social media, based on what is evident on the practice tape, especially in like 11s on 11s, it seemed like the player that you had most sync with in practice on the field was with North Dakota State's Gray Zabel, him working at right guard, you working at right tackle. And then you've mentioned that Oregon's Josh Connerly played a big part in your week in Mobile as well. Can you talk about your relationship with both those guys and kind of how that worked out throughout the week?
Yeah, I mean, it was great to get to know those guys and meet them. I was already a fan of Connolly's game, playing against him, studying him a little bit. He's a good player, getting down there, just picking his brain and putting in extra work with him. That was definitely great. Gray, hell of a dog. I mean, he's out there working his ass off, fighting, and that's impressive. And he's also right next to me, so had to build somewhat of a chemistry, and it was working pretty well.
Yeah, some of those outside zone reps were gorgeous in those practice reps with you and Gray there. Were there any other players that you really felt like you had a huge bonding experience with, where you guys were able to bounce ideas off of one another and things like that?
Me and Ant Belton, NC State, he's a hell of a player. Caleb, I mean, most of those guys, it was a great time to be down there with and just learning from them. But I mean, Wyatt Milam, just learning from all those guys and seeing what they thought every rep, you know what I'm saying, and
what their thought process is for the most part. I feel like overall it was a pretty good group of guys that we were all pretty close with.
Yeah, so we get access to the practice tape and what we can see you guys doing on the field. What's it like behind the scenes in those meeting rooms, or even like at the end of the day, you guys are all chilling out together? Kind of what's that experience like in Mobile as well?
It was cool, man. That was probably, you know, one of the better parts, just being around all the guys and chopping it up and learning about where they're training at and what it was like at their school and all types of stuff. So that was pretty cool. The meetings were great, you know, learning techniques and what NFL coaches think. And that was nice.
Nice. Yeah. And you had experience with both the Giants and Packers coaching staff there pretty up close and personal too. So yeah. Going to the defensive side of the ball then though, who would you say is your toughest matchup one-on-one throughout the week that you thought like, oh man, this guy's it?
I mean, the two guys that only probably got the better of me in one-on-ones, I didn't really get much team reps against them. Mm-hmm. I thought the Boston College kid was pretty good. I thought Mike Green was pretty solid. I would love to get to go against them in an 11-on-11 scenario, but they were pretty good one-on-one players.
Yeah, those one-on-ones always take a little bit of readjustment of the eyes because it's like, well, this isn't a game scenario. This is a question because Michigan's Josiah Stewart was also there. Central Arkansas's David Walker was also there. In your experience, what's kind of the differences between like Josiah or David, those stouter, shorter, more explosive lower half guys versus the longer, maybe twitchier guys like Donovan Ezeraku or Mike Green? Kind of what's the difference in your adjustment going up against those guys?
I mean, I didn't know much about David Walker going in. I cannot lie to you. I mean, he was a good player. He's strong. You know, he's a bull rush, low to the ground kind of guy. I watched some film on Josiah Stewart. So I kind of knew, you know, he was a speed to power, long arm kind of guy. So I kind of had an idea with him. And I mean, for the most part, I just was trying to be ready for the bull rush, you know.
Yeah.
It's only so much you can do to get ready for it.
Yeah. Is it tougher to keep the stouter guys out of your chest or the longer arms out of your chest?
I'd say the stouter guys, just for me personally. Okay. The longer guys, you know, I mean, I understand what they're going to do. They're going to try to use their arm length, you know what I mean? And I got something for that. But the stronger guys, I mean, they're always a little bit harder to deal with, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, let's just move on to kind of the combine here and then get a little bit to life outside of football. So, again, training at Exos and in Frisco. Throughout this process, have you been able to talk to Corey Trice, Tyrone Tracy, Payne Durham, kind of those guys about what to expect next week, kind of how their experience went?
I know it's going to be a long week. I know it's going to be a lot of stuff that's outside of the combine that's you just got to deal with. I'm pretty sure it'll be pretty similar to the Senior Bowl in terms of meetings and interviews and evaluations and whatnot. So I'm getting ready for that. But, I mean, I'm excited. I know it's going to be high anxiety for some in terms of, you know, how quiet it gets and all the eyes on them, but I'm excited.
Can you share a lot of, some guys like to keep this close to the best. Could you share some of your expectations at the combine?
In terms of this, times?
Yeah. Times, jumps, presses.
Today I did like 4.38 on the 5.10.5. L drill probably around 7.5, low 7.5, maybe 7.4. Okay.
Dang, that'll do. That'll play. Awesome. So let's talk about some life outside of football here a little bit. We had talked over the summer. You mentioned that soccer is also something that you're highly interested in. You're a big time FIFA player. Is that still something you're finding time to get in and kind of your downtime, clear ahead a little bit?
This year's FIFA, I won't lie, hasn't been the best compared to previous. But
I've heard that. My buddies prefer to play last year's game.
It is what it is, man. But, I mean, I'm still a fan. I love me some soccer. Love me some football, man. You know, just, I mean, I bought a ball not too long ago. I just dribble around the house sometimes when I get too bored. But it's good. It's always been good for me. I mean, there's a reason I was doing it before games and throughout the week. You know what I mean? So.
Love it. What was it like playing as yourself in a video game for the first time this year with NCAA 25 coming out?
It was crazy for me. You know, I'm big on the game. You know what I mean? I remember the first time. Me and my roommates were in my room playing the game, playing against each other. I had got like a pancake on the first play of the game. You know, I was screaming. I was turned. I was excited. I won't lie.
For as much anticipation as there was for that game, they knocked it out of the park. I hope there wasn't like a high and it's going to decline, but I hope they keep it up because they really knocked it out.
They raised my overall, man. They're bullshitting
me. I love it. All right, here, Marcus. Last question. So what's your why? I mean, obviously you're going through a lot of work. You're putting in a ton of work. You've put in a ton of work to come back from a broken leg this past season. And this is just the beginning towards entering an NFL career, which is, you know, playing offensive line is putting your body through a car crash every single week. So kind of what's your why? What motivates you to continue to do this thing?
I just want to be the best at what I'm doing. You know, I feel like I've been given the opportunity and the gift to, you know, be able to take myself very far in this game. And I just want to be one of the best to ever play online position. And I feel like, you know, the way that I play and the difference, you know, the different way that I approach the game in terms of technique and different things that I do, I feel like I have a chance, you know, as long as I keep getting better and get to the right place, I think I have a chance to go far.
I love it. All right, Marcus. Well, that's all I've got. Again, combine next week. Best of luck to you there. And, you know, best of luck as your busy schedule continues over here for about the next 2.5 months still before the big day. So, sure. Marcus, again, thank you so much for your time. And it's truly been a pleasure.
Thank you, my guy. Appreciate you.